There we go. Beyond 4 o'clock here. I found a giant case of pandering, I think, over the weekend. You're always interested in those, right? Or if it's not pandering, you better remember who you made promises to. I'll get into that just past five as part of the drive at five. Stories driving the news every single day at 5. It's brought to you by ServiceMaster Greater Pittsburgh. Demand the yellow van. Margo, I was worried about you. I got to be honest yesterday. I'll get into this story about the Hall of Fame in just a little bit. Or Walk of Fame. Margo, I was so worried about you. I mean this. So I came home from Monroeville, 1:30 or so. And I came across the bridge, that high bridge that spans the mighty Allegheny River right there at Harmerville, before the Harmerville exit. If you're coming from like Oakmont, the Oakmont Service Plaza that way, going toward Ohio on the turnpike. And the cars in front of me and mine were getting blown so far back and forth and swaying to where they almost tilted. And I'm thinking somebody's going to go over the side of this and end up down in that little island there, or somewhere blown all the way to Springdale. It was so windy. The rain had not started yet, but I know you were traversing back from the other side of the state just thereafter. And I was going to text you, but then I said, I don't want to distract her any more than she's already needs to lock in driving. Was it a crazy drive back from the eastern side of the state yesterday?
Yes, it was.
Whoa.
There was torrential downpouring.
Whoa.
And when you're in front of all these cars on the turnpike, all the mist comes up. And there were so many trucks traveling yesterday evening. It was really scary. And my wipers were on full speed, trying to still go the speed limit. But
you can't pull over because you don't want to lose time.
Yeah.
And you're like, if I wreck and die, just make it quick. You know? Like,
I know.
Oh, it's such a terrible feeling. But honestly, I want you to know, and the listeners, I was thinking about you, but I didn't want to distract you by texting you.
Thank you.
Because that would have just been too much. How was the wedding you went to?
It was a lot of fun.
Did you blow it out? Because you told me there was a span of time, which professional wedding goers know what to do with this time. And back when I was alive, believe me, I would know what to do with this time. You had like 3 hours between the ceremony and then the party. And you're like, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And I said, pregame. I mean, what do you think? So what did you end up doing with that 3 hours?
We went to Chick-fil-A because we knew we weren't going to eat till 7.
Okay.
And then
want to build like a base in your stomach, yeah. Right? Okay. All right. So you did that.
And then we did what you just said.
Pre-gamed. Okay. Yeah. Did you go to the venue and get there beforehand and just start pre-game at like a hotel or something? Or how did that work out? Where were you?
Well, we just kind of brought our own drinks in the hotel.
Nice. So. Okay. All right. Now, it was a good time though. The wedding was good.
It was a lot of fun, yeah.
All right.
I love weddings.
Yeah, they're okay. You've seen one, you've seen them all. No, but I'm glad you had a good time. I'm glad you made it home safe, all of that. And believe me, that rain yesterday was sideways. When they say sideways rain, it truly was.
I was white-knuckling it the whole time. I was grateful when I went in the tunnels because then I got a break from the rain.
Yeah, you're like, whew.
I know.
I don't have to deal with that. But that noise, and you heard it for like 4 hours.
Yeah.
The wipers. Oh, gosh. I'm sorry. But you know what I was also thinking, though? Had you flown home, you might not have been able to get back. It would have been delayed so bad.
Yeah, and flying home, you just have to rely on, I don't know. I like to leave whenever I want to leave, and I don't want to have to rely on weather or, I don't know.
And you like to be at your own mercy.
Yeah,
you like
exactly.
To do it yourself. All right. Pittsburgh Walk of Fame. Thank you, Margo. Glad you're home in one piece. So there's that. Pittsburgh Walk of Fame. I talked to Andy Lindberg and Tamara Rush, who were down there a little bit earlier today. Wonderful conversation with them about all of this. And here's just one story.
Nancy Polinsky Johnson, founder and executive director of the nonprofit Pittsburgh Walk of Fame, called today's unveiling a dream come true.
It was only when I went to the St. Louis Walk of Fame, kind of just on my way to the St. Louis Arch. Oh, let's just stop there and take a look at the walk. I just suddenly got inspired. They do it a little bit differently, and I like the way they did it, and it's what engaged me.
Legendary names like Michael Keaton, George Benson, Nellie Bly, and Roberto Clemente will now be immortalized immortalized on Smallman Street, a lasting tribute to Pittsburgh's rich history and cultural legacy. Tamira Rush, News Radio KDKA.
All right, 10 names. George Benson, Nellie Bly, Andrew Carnegie, Rachel Carson. I enjoy her trail on Sundays, by the way. Roberto Clemente, Michael Keaton, Fred Rogers, Jonas Salk, Andy Warhol, and August Wilson. So those are the 10 names. First of all, who's next? 866-391-1020. That's a great exercise, an easy exercise in talk radio whenever there are lists. And the list is going to expand. Who's next? Will it be the chief? Will it? Because they'll put somebody in the sports realm. Pardon me, I hate that I'm coughing. I have a frog in my throat. Not a literal one, a figurative one. If you had a literal one in there, I don't know if you'd be able to breathe. And I don't know how long it would remain in your throat. It would probably want to jump out. But who is next? And is anybody left off of the list? Now, not to rain on the parade of the Pittsburgh Walk of Fame, because it's a great deal, big deal, nice big accolade today down in the Strip District. And I will probably go check it out later on this week, because I'd normally stop in the Strip for coffee a couple days a week, at least one day a week, and I'll mosey on over there right near the office of our great friend Rich Fitzgerald, who's going to be on a little later on this hour. But Andy Warhol had to be on it, right? Like he did, because he's so famous in the art world. Hell, he's got his own museum that seems to be patronized more by out-of-town people than people in Pittsburgh. Like, it's always a must-stop by the eccentric set that come into town. The one thing about Warhol, if you do some reading on him, that's always astounded me, was a couple things. One, how much he couldn't wait to get the hell out of here. And two, how much he never wanted to come back. And he kind of did have that Rust Belt sort of let's get out of here situation with Pittsburgh. And he never spoke, I don't want to say never. He didn't speak of it glowingly all that much. And he never truly wanted to have all that much of a connection with it. That isn't to say he shouldn't be in this Walk of Fame. He should. He is one of the greatest in his field at all time. And if you are that, you should probably get a spot. So Warhol should. But doing a little reading on him, as I've done over the years, he took painstaking measures a lot of times to sort of distance himself from Pittsburgh. You can still celebrate the guy, and we do, and we should, and all of that. But when we speak of people who had a great love and affinity, like Michael Keaton, for Pittsburgh, and talk about it all the time, Warhol wasn't that guy. He just wasn't. Again, doesn't disqualify him from this Walk of Fame, but he never spoke of Pittsburgh glowingly. He couldn't wait to catch the first train out of town. Oh, looks like that ruling's about to come down with Trump and sending troops to Portland. So be on the lookout for that, because that's a big story. I'll talk to Rich Fitzgerald in just a little bit. I do want to talk to Rich Fitzgerald, Executive Director, Southwestern PA Commission. We talk to him every Monday, just past 4:30 or so. I don't want to victim blame, but did you catch the act of this South Allegheny Youth Soccer Club? I saw this story, and it's a head-scratcher to me. So this was from the Trib, I believe. The South Allegheny Youth Soccer Club, they're asking for help. And wasn't it at South Allegheny where the refreshment stand just burned down with the football? Or no, that was East Allegheny, I think. Anyway, scratch that. So the South Allegheny Youth Soccer Club is asking for help after a storage shed where its teams practices, where the teams practice and play, was broken into. This was over the weekend. They said over the weekend, in recent days, its storage shed in Lincoln Borough was broken into. Now, the organization sent out a release, right, or a statement. The door had been locked, but the lock and handle were damaged to gain entry. Which it can happen. You know, if somebody really wants to get in somewhere, they can eventually find themselves in there. Now, here's where it gets, I don't want to say weird, but just crazy. As a result of the shed being broken into, the organization said it lost most of the inventory it uses for concessions, a tip board, its cash box, two camping chairs, and referees' equipment. Now, the organization said its concession stand, fundraisers, and tip board all go toward paying referees and helping support activities for the players and their families throughout the season. The organization sent out this statement that said, "We're extremely disappointed and saddened by this incident. These thefts affect not just our club, but our players and the community that supports them." Yeah, I'm on board with all that. Whoever did this is a goof and a thief and a jerk and the worst of the worst. Not just stealing, but stealing from kids and stealing from kids' activities. And I very seldom use the word hate, but I hate this. I hate it for the kids. I hate it for the organization and all that. Now, not victim blaming at all. Just wondering. Why are we storing money in a storage shed? Really? I just think somebody should bring that up who's on the board. Somebody can't take the cash box home and put it under their bed at their house? Or better yet, put it in the bank maybe? I don't know. Just thinking out loud here. There could be a very good answer to this. And somebody could have a knockout A1 answer to this. But I don't care if it's $5, $500, $5,000, or $5 million. I just wouldn't leave any money laying around in a storage shed down at the field. Like, I don't know the status of all the concession stands in football, baseball, soccer in this case, or other places, all the fields all around this in Western Pennsylvania. But I would guess, and again, I don't know, so this would just be a guess. More often than not, whenever they close up shop, especially like if they're pretty much stagnant all week, there's probably not a lot of money in them, if money at all, even to make change at the refreshment stand. You bring a box of change. Not victim blaming. I'm just wondering out loud if the protocols were really followed. And if that was the protocol, maybe it needs to be updated and not leave any money laying in the storage shed. Just a thought. Just my thought. Rich Fitzgerald, Executive Director, Southwestern PA Commission, coming up just past 4:30. Monday at about this time in the 4 o'clock hour, just past 4:30, we welcome in Rich Fitzgerald, Executive Director, Southwestern PA Commission, and we do that right now. Hi, Rich. How are you?
Good afternoon, Colin. Boy, it was a busy day in the neighborhood, as they say, in the Strip District today.
I know.
You're going to come by and see it in the next couple days.
I am. I get coffee in the Strip at least once a week. We've bumped into each other a million times, and I will be down there one day this week, probably later on in the week, and stop by. You know, one thing that took me aback in listening to all the stuff, Rich, I had no idea it had been an idea or been in the works for like 13 years. I don't think a lot of people knew that, Rich.
Nancy, and I've known Nancy and her husband, David Johnson, Nancy Polinsky Johnson, for 30 years. Our kids actually went to school together. And I remember her coming into my office probably 8 to 10 years ago as county executive asking, like, do you think this is a good idea? Of course, I did. I thought it was. And she was looking for a location. And there were some county facilities, the airport, the Clemente Bridge, parks. Where would be a good place to put it? I think she landed on something. There were so many. And I think that was the goal, is to show out-of-towners who come to visit Pittsburgh all these great Pittsburghers. And you know, these 10 were just tremendous. So I give her a lot of credit. Boy, she persevered for years.
You're right about that. The location seems to be spectacular. It seems to be perfect. And it merits, I think, a deeper dive into that radius right in there, that maybe 6-7 block radius, on how it's become truly mixed use. And maybe an example you could take to other cities on how you make an urban area go. What has happened in the Strip District the last 8 to 10 years has been a prime example of how you marry residential and business. I can't think of another place like it in the city or a lot of cities.
No, there isn't. And when you think about how Pittsburgh's topography is very difficult, even the Golden Triangle, how the streets, you don't have a grid. You don't have just like nice parallel roads that go. The Strip lays out that way. You've got Liberty Avenue where people can, you know, go up very quickly through there. You've got obviously the commercial district of Penn Avenue where, you know, they're having a little bit of a strategy or controversy over bike lanes. And then you've got Smallman where, you know, the terminal building has been redeveloped over the last couple of years. And you see a mix of residential. You've got, I wouldn't call it industrial, but I'd call it commercial with all the robotics and technology companies that are here. And then, of course, it has become a tourism mecca because we see it every, when there's a big out-of-town game on the weekends, you'll see starting Thursday and Friday, you'll see the jerseys of the out-of-town teams and people love to come into the Strip District and just see a lot of the character that we have here.
Well, and it's something you mentioned with the bike lanes briefly, but also with this is you don't have absentee business owners. You, if somebody sneezes wrong or leaves a Kleenex on the pavement, you have a business owner who speaks up. I've always admired that about the Strip. Whether you agree with a business owner or disagree, they are involved and they want to keep in line their area. Would you agree with all of that?
Absolutely. And you have a real mix of people that have been here for 100 years, right? Their family-owned business that has transferred from generation to generation. You know, they think about the Woolies and the Sinceres and folks like that. But then you've got this new group that's come in, the tech group and the new development that has come in and people that have discovered it. And, of course, you're on the river. You've got the beautiful trail over along the river. And, again, all the way across, you've got these parallel streets that kind of work. New development, hotels, retail, et cetera, et cetera. And you're right. You have people that care. The Neighbors in the Strip is a very active organization to try to maintain, you know, some of the great things that are going on here.
Rich Fitzgerald joining right now. He does every Monday at about this time. Executive Director, Southwestern PA Commission. How many times a week do you get asked when the airport's going to open?
Probably a couple times a day. And I think we're getting close. There's no question. I was at the ribbon cutting last week and taking, you know, the walking tour for me, probably the 50th time. And you can see it's getting very, very close. And I think when it does happen in the next few weeks, people are going
to
love it.
Not to give away any secrets, but do you think it will make air travel and especially the parking to the gate situation much more easier to swallow and much more just a better experience?
You're going to save, I'm going to say on average, if you're driving out and parking and whether you're on extended or short term, whatever it is, I'm going to say anywhere from 20 to 30 minutes of the time you have to leave your house by the time you get to your gate, because things are going to be so much closer. You won't have to walk, you know, a half a mile from your parking spot to the people mover, and then the people mover takes you another half a mile, and then you go through TSA, and that takes a long time, and then you get on a train, et cetera, et cetera. You're going to be so much closer to your gate. You're going to save a significant amount of time, and the experience of going through TSA will be better too. You won't have to take off your shoes, for example. You won't have to take your laptop out of your bag, things along those lines.
Take me through take me behind the curtain at Oz. So whenever you build a new airport, you do this, you have the airlines that are already here. What does somebody like you or somebody like Christina, who's the CEO of the Allegheny County Airport Authority, how do you then woo airlines to bring more flights in or even new airlines like we saw with Iceland a couple years ago? How does that business transaction all go down or that process happen?
It's not so much of what the airlines, you know, think, well, you have the better baggage handling system, or you have a better TSA. It's really about the market. Well, if we give you a flight from, you know, Pittsburgh to pick a city, Minneapolis, LA, London, will people use it? And you've got two types of individuals. You have the leisure traveler And then obviously the business traveler. The business traveler probably willing to pay a little more for some convenience and some access. The leisure traveler, you want to get enough of them as you can. And then there's a third option that really I learned about as a Wilson County executive is cargo, the under-the-belly stuff that they will be willing to also enhance their revenue if they're shipping material, sometimes food, sometimes parts, whatever it might be, from, again, Pittsburgh to, say, Seattle or Pittsburgh to Salt Lake City. So it's a real market-driven procedure in which our business community in this region commits in many cases to say, we'll buy so many tickets so many times a year to go to these places. And then other things that happen like Steeler games, sporting events, obviously the NFL draft next year will put some specials. They'll put some special service on for things along those lines.
So that's why it's just as important to have distribution centers and things like that come in, because that helps with any sort of logistical situation.
Absolutely. That's absolutely right. And it provides jobs because you've got people that, you know, work in those warehouses, doing the deliveries, the truck drivers, the people who break it down, the people who design the software to distribute things. Yeah, it's a real supply chain of jobs.
Great stuff. Well, did you go out and see that Walk of Fame today, I guess, huh? Or you've seen it?
I was out there today. I thought it was very historic, and you make a good point. Like, you know, we picked 10, and now who are the next 10? You know, is it going to be people from industry? Is it going to like a Westinghouse, or, you know, someone from medicine like a Dr. Thomas Starzl, or, you know, the guy that invented the Big Mac, Henry Hines, you know, in the food area? Is it going to be, you know, another sports person like a Bruno Sammartino that changed I don't know. There's going to be Art Rooney, the Chief, you know, one of the founders of the NFL. So there's going to be a lot of things that are going to go into that. But I think it's exciting for us, when I say us as Pittsburghers, that we could be proud of these people that are on that Walk of Fame that not only did great things or grew up in Pittsburgh, but had impact across the country and across the world.
I couldn't agree with you more. And it forces healthy debate, which is always good.
It does. And you had a cross-section. You had environmentalists. You had, you know, I'm sure there were some people that thought Carnegie wasn't great for workers, but he built libraries and, you know, on and on and on. And I think there's a lot of, you had mentioned, you know, Andy Warhol, you know, not being excited to come back to Pittsburgh, and August Wilson might even, you know, fall into that category, maybe one or two others. So, you know, it's a mix of people that grow up here, and those of us that grow up here kind of understand that inherently, maybe better than outsiders would.
Absolutely. Rich, I appreciate it as always. We'll talk again next week.
Look forward to next week. Thank you, Colin.
Absolutely. Thanks. Fantastic stuff. You know, he brings up such a great point about the new airport, though, and how we forget about cargo so much, and the ease with which that needs to go in and out of our city to bring dollars into our region. That's vitally important. Ask Memphis about that and what it did for sort of that airport and that distribution center when so many things moved to Memphis in terms of cargo. So, all right, so much more to get into. A case of pandering, I think, that I must get into at the top of the hour. Here we are, 866-391-1020. 866-391-1020 as we get toward the 5 o'clock hour here on this Monday. It's a Mondayest of all Mondays. Weather changed abruptly, kind of cold. I see Mary Hours on the news right now, and behind her is a big graph it just said 42 degrees. I don't know if that's later tonight, right now. It's just, you don't see that and all that often. Well, we haven't seen it in quite some time. It just hit you right in the eyes that it's autumnal. I'm all right with it, though, but it is the Mondayest Monday right now. Top of the hour, I think it's pandering. I really do. But we have to have a pretty deep discussion. I saw some behavior over the weekend. And hey, business is business. Politics is politics. But it feels like pandering of the highest order. And I'll get into that top of the hour. First, this is going to be a big story. This will be a big story in its breaking news form, which is kind of right now a little bit. And then as it plays through the night, because we're dealing with a 3-hour time difference in terms of the time changes are on the West Coast. And then when we wake up tomorrow, if there are any ill effects from this, considering this is about to happen.
What stands out is that we have another 3-judge panel, and this is a 2-to-1 decision, looking at this question of the president's ability to federalize the National Guard, looking at this statute that gives the president a good deal of authority, and concluding that essentially they really need to defer to the president's decisions in this area.
Uh-huh. And that area is Portland.
I'm Stacey Lynn at the White House. In a statement, a spokeswoman said the president was exercising his lawful authority by sending in National Guard troops. She said this further reaffirms the lower court's ruling was, quote, unlawful and incorrect.
Okay. So there's that. That'll continue to raise the ire of people who aren't for lawful order. That's my thought on it. If you're doing the right thing, if you're not there to raise hell, if you are somebody who's walking a straight and narrow, what are you worried about? That's how I've always thought about this. What are you worried about? But I think a lot of people, some people I should say, see it differently. All right, top of the hour. Is this pandering from a politician, or is it just how you comport yourself and how you do business? Dive into that. But first, demand the yellow van. Yep. ServiceMaster Greater Pittsburgh. When disaster strikes, you give them a call. 412-826-1010. 412-826-1010. Musty smell in your basement? No good. Could be mold. And get it checked out, right? Don't take that risk. Don't assume it's just some like old house smell or something like that. Mold never waits. Going to spread, going to damage, going to be a really bad time for you. It could put you in the hospital. Really. It can make you very, very ill. So, ServiceMaster Greater Pittsburgh's not just going to paint over the problem, going to get it fixed for you and fixed right. Don't settle for cover-ups. Demand the yellow van. 412-826-1010. That's 412-826-1010. You call ServiceMaster of Greater Pittsburgh today. Yep, not just black mold. Any mold can cause that problem. 412-826-1010. Demand the yellow van. Traffic time.